And yesterday we lost the late, great Dr. John, New Orleans, 1940, November 21. That's where he was born. Jesuit High School graduate. And he, of course, was a six-time Grammy Award winner. And Matt Doyle, I think, has a sampling of some of the great music from Dr. John.
Such a night. You're such a night. Sweet confusion under the moonlight. Such a night. Such a night. To steal away the time is right. Your eyes caught mine.
Malcolm John Rabenek, better known as Dr. John. He's performed with some of the great lights in show business, and before we part, we will talk about this six-time Grammy Award winner. Received a doctorate honorary from Fine Arts from Tulane University, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by singer John Legend in March of 2011. And John Wirt, music critic, you knew him well. You talked with him very recently, didn't you?
Yes, meeting him really in person for the first time in 2015, although I'd done some telephone things with him before. That was one of the great things I did in my my career, to talk to Dr. John. And you know, it's been such an outpouring of affection for him.
Where did you talk with him?
I talked to him in the French Quarter at his publicist's home in the French Quarter, and then later I went to his home.
And spent a lot of time with him, didn't you?
You know, his publicist told me I was one of his favorites.
Well, that's very good.
Yeah.
He obviously read your work, and you were very kind to him, and for good reason. He was an immense talent, and sometimes it's like being a prophet in your own land. He was the real deal when it came to music, and really blended in all kinds of music. He was immensely successful with any number of artists from different realms of the music world.
The first time I saw him perform was a solo performance in Virginia, and the next time was with Ringo Starr's Ringo All-Star Band, and he was a part of that at the very beginning. He was in the first edition of Ringo's All-Star Band.
Dr. John.
Yes, yes. He came out in his Indian feathers and danced, and you know, he did his hits. It was a great moment in the show.
Great keyboard player. Here are some of the acts that Dr. John performed with in his long career. Canned Heat, B.B. King, Alan Toussaint, the Rolling Stones, the Sir Douglas Quintet, Maria Muldaur, Bill Wyman, Ringo Starr, Carly Simon, Harry Nielsen, Van Morrison, Greg Allman, Joe Cocker, Ricky Lee Jones, Hoyt Axton, Bob Seger, Emmylou Harris, Leon Redbone, Johnny Winter, Marianne Faithfull, the Neville Brothers, Ringo Starr and his All-Star Band, Tab Benoit, Edie Brickell, the Edgar Winter Band, and it goes on and on and on so long that I can't read them
that's
all.
That's right, that's right.
But he's an amazing player of the keyboard.
His last name is pronounced Rabenek.
Well,
Rabenek. I've heard it wrong a few times, especially some of the national people.
I went to college with his cousin, Des.
Okay.
Rabenek. I think that's the way she pronounced it, but you're saying that he pronounced it Rabenek.
I've always heard
spelled,
it.
It is spelled with an E. Rabenek, so we'll talk more after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Dr. John, he died on D-Day 2019. Birthday listed as November 20, 1941. New Orleans of significance, and combined blues, pop, jazz, boogie-woogie, and rock and roll like few others. And he was synonymous with the city that he hailed from. And John Wirt is with us, the music critic. Dr. John was 77 years old, and you went to his house. What was that like?
Yes, that was fantastic. I never thought I'd be in his house like that. And he was very nice. He sat in his dining room, and he walked into his kitchen, and his kitchen was covered with photographs, including pictures of people he loved. And he pointed to the shot of Jimi Hendrix, and he said, "That's my favorite guitar player."
There you go. Well, yeah. He's a lot of people's favorites.
And then he played, before we left, he played piano in his living room.
Well, I'll be darned. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, he was a heroin addict at one time. And
for decades, yes.
He kicked that, though.
He cleaned up, and he had a 30-year, almost a 30-year career after he kicked heroin.
And as we know, that's hard to do, and fortunately it did not kill him. He died of heart failure, 77 years old, so he had a long life and recorded more than 20 albums. His biggest hit was Right Place, Wrong Time, but he's one of those guys like Randy Newman. He's not judged by his hits. If he were, he would not be in the list of Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, but he was an immense contributor to music.
Yeah, that's so right that he's not judged by his hits, because he had two hits, Such a Night and Right Time, Wrong Place. Did I reverse
close,
that?
You're close.
Okay, sorry about that. I shouldn't make that mistake.
Right Place, Wrong Time.
Right Place, Wrong Time. Yeah, those were his only two hits, but he recorded prolifically and was in the studio often, as you said, with many, many other artists. So his contribution is amazing. Also, he toured. He was a working artist. And up until he basically stepped out in 2017, he was constantly touring and working. So it's really heartbreaking. And as I said, there's been this huge reaction to his death in the national media, the local media, social media. And it's the same as losing Fats Domino, who died in 2017, and Alan Toussaint, who died in 2015, and now Dr. John passes in 2019. But, you know, something Dr. John said, told me after Alan Toussaint's death, he said, Alan is a blessing that don't go away. That it's there, and you know, it's there with you anyway. So they won't be forgotten because they contributed so much.
Well, his official announcement says he created a unique blend of music which carried his hometown New Orleans at his heart, as it was always in his heart. And when it comes to New Orleans artists, he has to rank with some of the greats, and there have been a number of them. And a listener asked you to compare him to Harry Connick Jr. Different artists, but nonetheless, both hail from the great city of New Orleans, and there are some similarities.
You know, Harry is a great, great artist with lots of amazing talent, does so many things in music. So they it's an example of these great artists coming from the same place and sharing that flavor, but they're all so unique. They're all so different. Fats Domino, Alan Toussaint, Dr. John, Huey Piano Smith, Harry Connick Jr., they all sing, play piano, write songs, and they're all so unique. And that's one of the wonderful things about all these great people from New Orleans.
And this comes on the heels of losing Leah Chase a few days ago at the age of 96. She also was synonymous with New Orleans. And talk about two icons, and I'm sure they knew each other. Dr. John probably dined at Leah Chase's great establishment. And New Orleans has some characters, and they were both in that realm. They were fascinating people in addition to being very talented at what they did.
Yeah, they were all great characters. As Dr. John would say, characters.
Characters?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was his home opulent, or was it rather modest?
It was a modest home.
Yeah?
On the North Shore. Yeah. That's the home I went to, at least. So he's lived there for the past several years.
Malcolm John Rebenek, who lived 77 years. I'd say it's fairly evident that he had a full life.
Yes. Yeah. So much productivity, and as I say, so prolific in this recording studio. And he really loved what he was doing, and he loved the people he worked with. He always talked about his partners, as he called them. And there were so many of them, and they meant so much to him, and he meant a lot to them.
He did indeed. He's a person who cannot be replaced, truly an original. Another listener asked about his association with Van Morrison and Eric Clapton. He knew them both well.
Yes, he knew and worked with them. That shows you how important he was. Those guys are very big national stars and international stars. And You'd think they'd be much better known than Dr. John. But again, Dr. John is extremely well known. And they were delighted to work with him because, you know, he's one of the great people from New Orleans. And they wanted some of that mojo.
Yeah, Bob Seger as well. The Silver Bullet Band actually included Dr. John at various points, didn't it?
I don't know much about that association now.
Yeah, he performed with Bob Seger.
I wouldn't be. I mean, it's his contribution again is so vast.
He's one of those like Billy Preston, who played with the Beatles and never got a whole lot of credit for it. Dr. John was playing with a lot of these people, and
you didn't mention John Lennon. Worked with John Lennon.
And
he knew
song?
George Harrison, and he loved George Harrison.
Yeah, well, I remember John Fred was always full of vim and vigor when he would talk about meeting the Beatles. Well, Dr. John actually played with these guys, and he was very close, as you know, to Ringo.
Yeah, Ringo tweeted his message out to among the many others.
And speaking of the Beatles, you, John Wirt, reviewed Paul McCartney's performance a few weeks ago. He came to New Orleans at the Smoothie King Center, and in a few days he will be 77 years old, the same age as Dr. John, who passed away yesterday. And at 76, almost 77, he did what, 38 songs?
38 songs is what I counted, yeah. Again, it was one of those, it wasn't a three-hour show like I think we've seen before. It was more like a two-and-a-half-hour show. But I don't remember him ever leaving the stage except before the encore.
A few years ago, he did 51 songs, so he's slowing down a bit, just went to 38, but I understand it went to 2 hours and 45 minutes, so he didn't cut the audience short, I don't think.
No, and it was a moment, like during Hey Jude, it was like the rapture, I have to say. People were so involved in it, so he definitely won his audience, and they loved him very much.
Well, Paul McCartney and the Beatles first performed in New Orleans in 1964 when Dr. John would have been about their age, would have been 23 actually when they performed. But his career, it took a little while to get going. Right Place, Wrong Time was 1973. He was well into his 30s by the time he achieved what would be called stardom, and he handled his fame well.
He worked behind the scenes, and he loved being a producer. He loved being the piano player in the rhythm section. He loved to play music. This whole thing where he became a front man was kind of by default, because the original fellow who was going to be the character, Dr. John, dropped out, and so Dr. John stepped in, and it stayed with him for the rest of his career.
Now, New Orleans artists who are carrying the flame, music is still a huge part of that city and culture. Are there any people who are in the category? You mentioned Alan Toussaint, Dr. John, people who died of late who are irreplaceable, but are there any others who may achieve that same kind of fame and legacy as these two?
That would be a hard one to reach, yeah. They're wonderful, talented people there, and I admire them a lot. John Cleary is a great piano player and singer, and he's in that vein of Toussaint and Professor Longhair. There are many others. But what these people accomplished is such a high bar. Will anyone be as successful as Fats Domino? I doubt it.
And Fats died... Was it last year?
2017.
2 years ago, almost.
And Dr. John went to some memorial events for Fats Domino and participate in them.
Pete Fountain.
Another
Al
one,
Hurt.
Yeah.
They all did their magic for many years and did New Orleans well in the state of Louisiana. And Al Hurt, we noted on the 27th of April, it was 20 years since he died. And a listener noted a few days ago, I failed to mention on the 20th anniversary of John Julian McKithen's death. The former governor of Louisiana died June 4 of 99. He was 81 years old when he passed away. Louisiana's first two-term governor in the 20th century. They changed the Constitution to allow him to run for a second term, which he won. and a larger-than-life figure who spent his golden years a member of the LSU board and created a lot of interest there, particularly when coaches were being hired and fired. He would put on quite a show. And my favorite governor, John Julian McKithen, last Louisiana governor above 6 feet tall. We've got the tallest capital, but as Jim Brown has noted, we elect generally short governors. I think John Bel Edwards is probably 5'11", but he's not as big as Big John McKithen, who lived from May 28, 1918, to June 4, 1999. And he served in World War II in the Pacific, and he named Fox McKithen, Walter Fox McKithen, after two men who saved his life. They jumped on top of him in a bunker. Both of them were shot and killed. And John McKithen lived to live a full life. He was beneath them. And here's a man who had a full life, Dr. John, in his prime.